Laura Dungan.
And Mina Palacios. Can you talk to me about Women for Kansas? When did it start? Why did it start?
Officially started last fall, but there was beginning conversations last spring in 2013. A group of women got together and they were like, we've got to do something. Our state is in a bad state and we need to be getting organized and doing things. They were thinking on a much smaller scale than looking at how do we change leadership in Topeka. As soon as they started talking about making those kind of changes in Topeka, oh my goodness, the room lit up and they haven't been looking back since. So the convention, 1,000 Women Convention, came very quickly on the table of like, so how do we get out the vote? How do we mobilize women, unify them? Not just around politics necessarily, because our communities have all kinds of things going on socially that we need to be addressing and dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Your mission statement is to unite and activate moderate, independent, and progressive women across the state for the purpose of electing a governor, a secretary of state, and legislators who value. And then you go on and talk about the tax system. You'd mm-hmm. like a fair tax system, a court system free from political influence, voting rights for all citizens, equal access for immigrant families, and dignity and opportunity for all. That's pretty broad,
yeah.
Dignity and opportunity
for all.
Yeah,
that was kind of the catch-all to catch everything that wasn't in that mission mm-hmm. statement, because it seems that everything is needing to be addressed right now.
When you've been traveling across the state, what issues would you say are the hot topics?
Mm, kind of depends on where you're at. Like yesterday, there was a small group of women, and I don't think there were any Latinos in that meeting yesterday, but they were talking about immigration, and Emira's been working with Latina to get them engaged with the convention.
I think what was said there, which is really, it's true, is that there is a lot of naturalized citizens, immigrants who are afraid to go to the polls, who don't feel comfortable, who don't know how to maneuver the actual voting and that sort of thing. And so that, you know, there is a lot of intimidation. I think it's more intimidation than fear. Although, depending on which country you're from, you know, there has been so much in some of those countries, retaliation for just going to the polls that it could be a possibility. I think in regards to Mexico, I'm from Mexico, is more of a getting into an unfamiliar place and in front of a machine where you have nobody to guide you through and that sort of thing. So that's kind of like what was said in the meeting.
Mm-hmm. What prompted you to be part of this group?
Well, you know, we've been on the fight for comprehensive immigration reform. I've been on this fight for almost 14 years, and we've done a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff. One that I can relate to does reference to going to the polls and vote was when we launched a campaign at a national level called Building America Together. And it was basically the concept where they went and did a deep research and find out there were millions and millions of people who qualified to become naturalized citizens and they weren't doing it. And then, of course, another huge chunk of those kids of immigrants who were turning 19 for the 2008 elections. And so I seen both parts in the sense of we were able, minorities and specifically Latinos, 10,000 Latinos on 2008 voted, 10 million Latinos in the 2008 elections and 12 million on the 2010 elections. And I think the reason we got more in 2012 elections was because of Romney and his craziness of how he was just flat out targeting immigrants and talking really bad about it. So I seen both the importance of going out to the polls of mobilizing the Latino community at a national level. But I know that here in Kansas, I mean, we're just behind, like so far behind. But I seen the possibilities and that it could be possible. So that's one. I also seen the fact that you go to the polls and elect someone doesn't mean that you're going to eventually get what you're fighting for. So I think what energizes me about Women for Kansas is the fact that is small groups of people getting together and getting energized about a bigger idea than just electing or taking someone out of office, but more like, why are we doing this and talking about how this is affecting our lives, our communities, and everything, you know? And so it's more about the conversations that we're having on living rooms or on libraries or on cafe shops or whatever you call it. But it's more about just getting women, different groups of women together talking about. And I really like, I'm trying really hard to get more Latinos involved, to help them understand that we need to be part of this. And again, you know, in regards to the Latino community, there is a lot of education that needs to be done in order for them to comprehend and understand the reasons why we have to do it, but then also how to do it.
When you have a culture that is not used to that kind of involvement, how do you change that culture?
Well, I think it's a step at a time. It's like something that is really not really neat in our community is if you convince a few people and if you really help them understand like the repercussions of doing or not doing, you know, going to the polls and then also like how to do it and why to do it. It's sort of like it could spread out. And so my brother, who is a legal permanent resident, I remember when the last presidential elections, he has 3 USA citizens who are not really involved, but he watches a lot of TV and stuff like that. And up until that, he never wanted to become a citizen. So that year, he's like talking to his daughters and saying, "Hey, mija, you have to go to the polls and vote. You know, this Romney is crazy." And my nieces will just kind of like imitate him because he has a really heavy accent and they just kind of like made fun of him a little bit. But he kept pushing. You know, and so I think so that's kind of like some of the things that can happen. All you need to do is get someone who is passionate is going to be, you know, there. And I think just getting a few people who really understands, and then it's our daily bread. It's kind of like talking about these things wherever we go. With whomever we're with, including our kids. And that was something, it's like, my son and my daughter, you guys have to register to vote. And it's like, have you gotten to vote yet? You need to do it. Now I'm going to make them do the advance ballot because last year my son, who was a, you know, who is a college student, just basically didn't have the time to do it that day. So it's just that. It's a small process. It's a slow process, but I think that on the long run, it's gonna be worth it.
We hear so many stories about the changes in voter registration that the Secretary of State has pushed forward, and that's certainly been a topic of struggle, not only in our state but in many of the surrounding states. Would you say that the perception that it makes things more difficult, is that real?
Yes, it is real. I think it goes a little bit beyond that and is like, are they even registering to vote? And so this is the way I have been able to get through to people because it has never been explained to us before this way. And I go, listen, and we can, Latinos can relate to this. You get mistreated at your job. If you don't do your job right, you can get fired. If you can go 150%, you know, all those things. So we said, hey, what would happen if you're not doing your job? Well, I get fired. Well, guess what? Chris Kobach is our employee. Brownback is our employee. And they're not doing the job that they should be doing. And they're not representing us. So the only way we can fire these people is going to the polls. So that's kind of how I explain it. Yes. The more difficult they make it for us, the less likely we will be going to the polls. But so that means that we just have to work harder at informing and at helping our community understand that this ain't going to change. It's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And we need to get on board with it.
I want to piggyback on this voting piece, because in these counties, I mean, there are thousands of registered Latino voters that the vast majority are not, for whatever reason, getting out to vote. And Women for Kansas is working with a new vote tool that has not been in operation in Kansas before, but it is for this election, which is being able to get advance ballots in people's registered voters' hands. And it's done all electronically. So you don't even have to leave your home in order to participate in making sure people have the advantage of receiving an advance ballot application, but also then being able to vote and fill it out and turn it in when people's lives are extremely busy. Tricky part is that it is online, and a lot of people don't use computers, although our newer generation does. So if there was some way to get people organized in a way that younger people that are more comfortable with the computer are able to help make calls and begin to move these advance ballot applications out, we could see a big change, and particularly from this part of the state.
Can you tell me what motivates you to be part of this movement?
Mm-hmm. Whenever there's a group, I'm a community organizer and have been in that field for 23 years and have worked on all kinds of issues, everything from getting stop signs put into neighborhoods, potholes filled, to working with EMIRA on comprehensive immigration reform, trying to stop anti-immigrant bills from being passed, predatory lending issues at the state level. So it's covered the gamut. And it, for me, it when there are groups and masses of people that are concerned and feel that a change needs to be made and that they feel like they're the underdog, I'm there. That's why I'm there.
I like that. If you could say that this movement was success, if you could designate it like that, what would it look like?
I think for me is that every woman that participated there understands that, although let's say that we, which we are going to elect, Paul Davis and Jill Dawkins, but to me that's not a success. To me, the success will be to see these 500, 600, these 1,000 women who came together and got trained, continue to working and talking and giving a call to Paul Davis and Jill Dawkins and saying, hey, remember what we did? Remember the banquet? Remember the promises that you made to us? And then even farther down is like, okay, we got this far. Now we have a legislature that needs to be changed to. So to me, a success will be the beginning of something bigger. We're really taking back Kansas or turning Kansas around or building or creating a new Kansas. And the convention will be just the beginning.
I'm almost hearing you say that accountability, success would be accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I am the voter. You work for me. Do you remember what you said?
Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. Let's make it happen. And be part of it. Like, how can we help you execute your promises? What is it what else do you need from us in order to execute, your promises, or in order to do the right thing? Because, I think it's everyone's responsibility.
Not really an adversarial role.
No.
But the other side as well. Here were your promises. I'm reminding you of them.
Let's come together
what
and do it.
What things do I need or do we need to do to help make sure that happens? Would that be accurate?
I think so. It's everyone's responsibilities in that sense. Is less, I mean, we've done our part. If you do your part and we do our part, I mean, we can get some great things done.
How would you define that, Laura?
Women being able to walk out of that convention to go back home and build new kinds of relationships that build a new kind of infrastructure around the state that both deals on the political end, because we do have an election to win in November, so that job gets done, but that it goes beyond the vote in this election. It really has to do with our neighborhoods and our communities, that often our policies at the state level, county level, city level affect getting anything done. And it takes people organizing, big money. A lot of people wring their hands, like, how can we compete with the large money that's being put in against our interests? People power, if it can get organized and pulled together, can make the changes we want to see. David and Goliath is a very good story in that regard, I think.
Mm-hmm. True. So it's going to go on well beyond election, well beyond this convention. It will have life of its own.
Yeah. We'll be at the convention, and even now in this phase that we're in and preparing for the convention and getting out the vote, looking to see how things can be pulled together and galvanized once the convention and the vote is over. I'm sure everybody will be pedal to the metal between end of August and November to get the vote out. But then after that period between the election and the end of the year, we'll take a quick deep breath and then be thinking, okay, so now what?
As far as opposition, do you see that Women for Kansas, is there an opposing group?
The thing that keeps coming up in the roundups that we've been having, the articulation of the extreme ideologies that seem to be running around, and really, it's not that many people, and how galvanized they are. They seem to maybe be galvanized around particular party politics to the extreme. And then there's the rest of us, which for the Republican Party, I think it's what a difficult time. And a painful time. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe the painful part is people are coming out of that and they're getting very, very energized and deciding, you know what? Yeah, we've got a change to make. So we're going to have to get together with folks to do that will cross the party lines that we have. I think it took a while even for candidates to grasp a hold. There were some that jumped in very early with Women for Kansas, seeing as like a huge opportunity to begin to meet and network with women in a way that would be very beneficial on both sides, because it is about relationship. The holding accountable is about relationship. But I think we were so used, that Women for Kansas, well, that's a Democrat thing. Well, no, it's not. But I think we've turned the corner on that. I think people are coming together pretty broadly across those lines now, and candidates are seeing that, hey, if you're someone that's looking for solutions and working with people in a way that's different than very extreme views of what our state needs to become, that some graphs I saw, if people think we're gaining jobs in this state, nope, we are not. And yesterday, women very concerned and fearful, you know, public schools could disappear with the way the tax structure is, and hospitals. Well, what happens to a town when a school and a hospital goes or is severely diminished? So anyway, this is a critical time to get engaged.
When did Women for Kansas start? How long ago?
Officially last fall.
Okay.
The name Women for Kansas emerged in 2013 in the fall. Although the beginnings of what do we do started with a very small group of just 20 women in Wichita, and then it just grew from there. So...
And I think one of the things that we've talked a lot is this is not about politics anymore. It is about moral issues. It is about the fact that our state is just on crisis. Our families are in crisis. It's like, you know, the poverty issue, everything. So as a woman, we are trained to take care of these kinds of things, to just rise up to the challenge and say, this cannot continue. So we are caregivers. And so this is not about who gets elected. It's more about how the people that is in power right now is affecting us, affecting our communities, our families, you know, ourselves. And then I think it's really cool to get around, just to get a group of women together. It's like bonding together and just kind of like seeking solutions and figuring out how do we turn this around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when there are roundups going on, how do women find out about them?
We have a Facebook page, Women for Kansas Facebook, and a very nice website that should give all kinds of good information, from how to register, articles, some video, how to apply for a scholarship, the registration fee. It's substantial. But we've arranged for the ability for women to apply for scholarships. And if women cannot afford the hotel, if they've got to drive to Wichita, there are women who are opening their homes for hospitality. So people should be covered on that end in terms of lodging while they're there. Basically, they'd have to cover their food outside of the convention. That's all in part of the convention registration and their gas money to get here. So, yeah, and all that information is on the website, womenforkansas.org.
So you're making it very accessible. You're trying to do your best to make sure that there aren't any economic limitations.
Yep.
And then I think some of the women in the group, like, contacting people they know on other cities and counties, and then those women in their own, I think that's the neat part about it, is, like, them getting, like, somebody from Dutch City inviting people from Dutch City, and being our link. Somebody from Garden City contacting the women from Garden City.
Well, sure. Yay! Thank you for taking your time to do this.
Nice to meet you.
Great. Oh yeah, we'll be back here.